Welcome to Heathen and the Hedge. This is a podcast about marriage, magic, and beyond. I'm Shay.
And my name is Merlin. Today, we're going to be talking in remembrance of all of the black lives that have been lost and affected by racial injustices, as well as it being Black History Month. We're going to be talking about the Red Summer of 1919.
Which is a really tragic event that happened, and by far probably one of the most shocking things I've heard as of just recent.
Yeah, and shocking mostly so. I mean, it's shocking because of, I mean, it was a fucking terrible thing that happened. But it's also shocking that, like, I had no idea that this massacre had happened, and it was huge. It was huge.
Well, it looks like, may have answered the first question as to what is the Red Summer.
The Red Summer was a period of time from late winter through early autumn in 1919, during which white supremacist terrorism and racial massacres took place in more than 36 cities across the United States, the worst of which was in Elaine, Arkansas, and an estimated 240 African Americans were basically slaughtered.
Yeah. It pains me.
It's terrible.
It pains me.
This is going to be a little bit heavier of an episode than we've usually done.
Well, but, we talk about a lot of fun things on this podcast.
For
and
sure.
We do keep it quite light pretty often, but we want you all to come here and also know that, you know, Freaky Friday covers even the worst of the worst of murders.
Yeah.
You know, some of the murders are going to be fun. Some of them are going to be stupid.
Fun murders.
Some of them are going to be heavy.
Not that murder is fun.
Well, when I say fun, I mean like the ones that are just so ridiculous that you can't believe them. They've got like the most comical meaning behind why someone would do such a terrible thing. But this is not one of those times.
This one is just pure.
Talking about something that is part of our U.S. history that was less than 100 years ago.
Yeah, an act of, like, unadulterated genocide is what it was.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
Did you know about the Red Summer of 1919?
Not at all.
No.
This was my first time really ever hearing about it.
Yeah.
I kind of just was looking for something to cover, because I have been wanting to dive a little bit more into, you know, Black history, because I do believe that it is largely a part of our American history and the things that we need to know. So I was hoping to find something really interesting that we could share today, and that would be this. But I had no idea that it had happened.
Well, I think the first thing we should do, if we're like in this subject, is talk about like what maybe led up to it, or like why it happened.
Yeah.
And just to set up a picture,
no
to paint
reasons.
A picture. I mean, no, there was no good reason.
No good reason. No sane reason. No reason that could be any.
Doesn't justify
any
murdering people
for
at
what
all.
Has happened.
But basically, World War II had just ended, and there was already like a huge influx of like what they called them was strike breakers. Basically, when white people were going on strike with their companies or whatever, they would bring in, the companies would bring in and hire black workers because they needed the work, of course, and they could work them for cheaper wages.
Yes.
So there was already a huge influx of black workers in the workplace that these white supremacists and basically Nazis were not cool with. And then World War One ended, and you've got all of these black soldiers that were coming back looking for jobs. And then that, you know, that pissed off the white supremacists even more. And they were basically labeling it as a racial cleansing. And yeah, that's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
All because they weren't willing to make room for black families to live and make a living for themselves.
Well, I mean, just before that, slavery had only ended like 300 years before.
So well, not even 300. It was 50 years.
It was close enough that it wasn't fully. dissolved. Like, what I meant to say was that it was 300 years before, like, when it had started, and then it was 50 years to when it had ended.
Yeah.
That this had started, and it wasn't, that's not enough time. 50 years.
I mean, there were literally still people living.
Still people alive that were who slaves. Had just, that, right. Yeah. Who had just gotten out of slavery.
Yeah.
And people who had just stopped in, who had just stopped owning slaves.
Yeah.
So this was a very high stress time.
It was and then tense.
The war happening was really a test of the line with our army, because I mean, you had armies of black people, armies of white people, and none of them were even really together.
Well, that, yeah, I thought that was interesting. I'd never even heard that, that soldiers, black soldiers in World War One, actually trained and fought with the French soldiers because the American soldiers didn't feel comfortable fighting alongside African-American soldiers.
And
so basically, they shipped them to France. The French people, who have had their shit together when it comes to racial equality for, I mean, a century before America did.
Yeah.
Were treating the soldiers well, like treating them equally, and gave them like damn good training, because I mean, France just has a pretty good military.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was weird. Like, I'd never heard that before. But you've also got like these people, these black soldiers coming back from a war. And
finding that it's still in turmoil.
Yeah, complete turmoil.
So I feel like, in general, the fact that we were in a war, not even able to fight together, and now we're at home coming up with ways to pick up a
fight. To make war at home.
Exactly, because because blacks were needing jobs, and white people didn't want to work at the particular time.
Yeah, there was a lot of strikes going on.
And not even just that. I mean, they saw us as we were taking their jobs, their homes.
Yeah.
Just taking up space.
Yeah.
And that's enough reason to kill and torturize and run out thousands of black people.
Yeah.
As if we didn't have enough in the first 300 years of our lives. We needed to have a lot more just coming into the first 100 years of U.S. history.
Yeah.
We're still doing the shit. We're still doing the stupid shit.
Did you, to get into our next question, did your family ever talk about, like, white-on-black violence or, like, the race massacres?
I mean, yeah, like, I knew a little bit about it, and this is what mind boggles me, is that, like, my grandma was born the year that this took place.
Yeah, she was.
So, in the midst of all of the chaos, and her parents being freshly out of slavery, she's born.
Yeah, she was being born into a white world that basically hated her.
Like, my grandma did tell me, like, you know, she told me a lot of times how many terrible things that she saw and witnessed and went through, and her family went through, our family.
Yeah.
And she told me a lot of stories. She
totally.
I thought to myself, like, when I was a kid, that at the time, maybe that didn't hit me as hard as it did now, but her telling me, like, my great-grandparents picked cotton fields in Texas.
Yeah.
That's not really, like, the awesome family story that you want to share at Thanksgiving dinner. Like, you are kind of like,
yeah.
It's just one of those things that you can't really get your brain wrapped around.
Yeah, because that's only...
No matter how many times my family... And I think that that's one of the things I was saying to you before, was that the reason why I think black people in general, like our families, we don't talk about our heritage or our history or where we came from, because it was so tragic.
Yeah.
There's literally nothing in our histories that we want to remember.
Yeah.
Other than when it's time to point the finger to say who hurt us. That's the only time we're going to talk about it. But any other times, we just zip it right up and we don't want to acknowledge that. I feel like I spent a lot of my childhood not feeling too connected to my history, because a lot of my history wasn't talked about.
Yeah.
So I find that really, you know, it's in a way, it feels a little stifling, you know? It's a little stifling to feel like I'm not able to really look into my past and find too many things I can be happy about.
Well, that's funny. Well, like, not funny. I had never thought about it until, like, this very second. Like, your family is only, because your grandmother was, what, 97 when she passed away? So your grandmother was older than somebody your age as grandma would typically be.
Yes.
But if you, like, thinking about, like, the generations of your family, you are only three generations out of slavery.
Yes.
That's not very far at all.
No, not at all. It's weird. And then
I've never thought about that before this very second.
Yeah. And then and sometimes, like, I wonder to myself, you know, when my uncle, I think he was the seventh or eighth child that my grandmother had before my mother and her sister were born, because my mother and sister were twins. So my uncle was right before, and he married a white woman, was the first of the children to marry white. And so I always kind of wondered how my grandma thought about that, or what she thought of it. Because I do remember at, like, the very first time that I started dating, and I was dating a white man, I remember her, like, specifically telling me, like, you don't really want to do this. Like, you don't really want to do this, do you? Because it's just a lot easier if you don't. And that was kind of like her. And I just kind of remember that sticking in my head. Like, I mean, I don't understand what you mean.
Yeah.
But then now when I look back into these things in history, in our U.S. history, it really kind of bothers me sometimes that this existed, that happened. And then
it's fucked up.
I have to look at where I'm at in my life and feel guilty, ashamed, hurt, maybe, that a lot of people truly would not be okay with my mixed race child.
Yeah.
Would not be okay with our mixed race relationship.
Yeah, it's still a problem today.
I know. And that just hurts me.
Yeah.
Inside. Like, yeah. I don't like that at all.
Well, because it's not that far away. A lot of people, I mean, it is history. Like, we are, as a people, trying to, like, American culture trying to move forward. But it's, you got to remember that it's literally not that long ago.
I know.
At all.
And, like, for you, like, what about you? Like, with your family being on the whole opposite end of the spectrum, what do you feel like?
Did they talk about that kind of stuff? Yeah, they did. I mean, there was both sides of talking about that. Like, I mean, I definitely had in some of the older generations of my family, there were racists and very unsavory stereotypes.
Yeah.
But, like, my grandmother, she did tell me about, like, the Tulsa race massacre. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But she did talk about that, how she remembers when she was a kid that Tulsa was a sundown town. And basically, if a black person was caught out and about after sundown, like, it was totally legal to just kill him right there in the street.
Yeah, and what's worse is that still exists.
There
are still sundown towns.
Yes, there are.
Exists right now in 2022. I could be somewhere I'm not supposed to be after sundown.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah.
And I don't understand.
It's hard to move forward whenever there's still shit like that going on.
Like, I feel like in the back of my brain, I say this with the love of my heart, like, you don't have to feel like you're responsible, because you're not. But take ownership in knowing how you treat people today.
For sure, yeah.
Like, don't let, just because something may have happened in the past that you don't feel was okay or appropriate, that hell, you may have found out one of your family members was involved. I'm not blaming you. What I'm asking you to do is be better. Be better than the past was. That's what we're still working to do today.
Yeah.
Which is not going as swiftly as I would like it to.
Not at all.
But, you know, what can we do? I guess that is one of the questions we're going to answer later in the episode. But,
yeah.
So, next question.
How do you feel things have or have not changed? I mean, we kind of just talked about that, but...
Well, I'm going to let you go first. I need a break to, like, just...
Well, first of all, there's a lot of ignorance still in the world. Like, a ton of ignorance. Like, it's almost like... it almost makes you feel, like, hopeless moving forward because there's just so many goddamn stupid people in this world that...
Yeah.
That do care about what color a person's skin is or, like, what god they worship or any of that stuff and
yeah.
are willing to kill them because of it. I mean, it's a hard thing to move forward. I think, of course, we have. I feel like this country in some ways,
yeah.
and I've never experienced any of it personally, but I feel like we're moving forward, but there's so much damn work left to do. Like it's not a time to get lazy and say we've done enough because we haven't at all.
Yeah. But I mean, I get what you're saying. You know, yeah. there's been some strides.
Some. But
yeah.
No, we're not done.
Yeah.
We won't be done for centuries.
Ask me the question again.
How do you feel things have or have not changed?
Okay. I feel like in some ways, like, things have changed in the aspect of, you know, we are moving towards, like, more black empowerment, more people For sure, of color yeah. empowerment. Like, people are looking towards people of color and are starting to see equality.
Yeah.
We're moving towards
yeah.
Pushing things like the last couple of years have been really big on like black owned businesses and
oh, yeah.
people of color businesses and trying to support and get these communities to a place that they are striving because we went through a time where a lot of those places were not being supported.
Yeah.
I mean yeah. from literally the place we just came, we saw where Tulsa was literally on purpose neglecting the quote unquote ghetto of Tulsa because they felt like it was less important to
For sure.
that section because nobody was looking at
For sure.
North Tulsa.
And I work.
Nobody gives a damn about North Tulsa.
Ain't I work.
Nobody going out there to buy nothing or
yeah.
put nothing in there. I mean, it's actually being developed
it is.
Quite well as we speak. From my childhood to now,
oh, yeah.
I've seen like 6 times the development that there was when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So.
Man, that's something like working for the city in Tulsa, because I worked for the city of Tulsa for
like five and a half years
with Public Works. We did like stormwater stuff, like worked on the streets and the storm systems. But the black neighborhoods, like North Tulsa, the people were always so grateful whenever you had, you know, come and like fix something in their neighborhood because shit did get neglected for like so long. That's one of the mayor of Tulsa. He talked about that whenever he was running like the first and the second time, like North Tulsa is not going to be ignored anymore. Like it's been completely neglected because of, you know, basically because of racism. That's what he said. He was like, this has been a racist ran town for far too long. And like, it's time to like, not fucking do that anymore. And he did a lot to change, like, and like move forward as far as helping black neighborhoods succeed and, you know, beautify their neighborhoods. And
which I mean, you know, talking about Tulsa right now, you know what I mean? Like it's irritating to think that also one of the places that held one of the largest massacres of United States history on black people. And it's awful.
I have some facts about that too.
Yeah, please. Yeah. Like, go ahead and share
a
little bit more information about that.
1921, the Tulsa Race Massacre, also called the Black Wall Street Massacre, happened May 31st to June 1st. Around 200 deaths. There was 200 deaths and 800 plus injuries. There were 35, estimated over 35 square blocks completely demolished of black neighborhoods. And it was actually one of the Black Wall Street area of Tulsa was one of the wealthiest black neighborhoods in the entire United States of America.
Yeah.
At the time.
Until
they
decided they didn't like that.
Yeah. Close enough. And what spurred that was a, let's see, it was a 19-year-old shoeshine worker named Dick Rowland was falsely accused by a lady by the name of Sarah Page of basically like sexually assaulting or like harassing her or something. He was arrested and taken to the courthouse, and basically like rumor got out like they were gonna lynch the kid. So a group of like African-American men went to the courthouse to like basically protest. Like it was a peaceful protest. Nothing had happened, but they were protesting to like, don't lynch this kid. Like he was just like a 17-year-old kid, I believe 19-year-old kid. And what had happened is one of the black men were armed. They had a pistol, and there was an older gentleman that like approached him and started a fight. The white man was shot, and basically all hell broke loose, and just completely, it went from a false accusation to complete and total fucking genocide.
Well, it's also,
there's more to it than that.
Yeah. Like after that, they decided, you know, the white people were like, no, he's definitely dying, because at the time they were trying to still decide at that point. He was like just arrested.
It was pretty fresh. But they were going to like protest, like,
right,
please don't execute him.
But they were like, no, well, then it's happening now. And
the
white man went and, you know, pretty much destroyed the courthouse and demanded that they release him so they could handle it themselves.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened and more.
Yeah.
They allowed them to take this man to go and lynch him, and then destroy all of half, like pretty much like all of the black neighborhoods at that time.
And
which is, quite frankly, is ridiculous.
Yeah. And it was that neighborhood was a huge step forward for like the black American communities.
Because it was really you know, booming.
A very booming, wealthy neighborhood that was completely wiped out over stupid bullshit.
Yeah.
Completely.
And it kind of just makes you...
And that's from the town that we came from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes you think about just how deeply rooted this is and how not far off it is as well.
Next question. Do you think Americans are naive?
Yes.
I do too.
Of course. Most of us. Yeah.
I think white America is naive. I will say that honestly.
A lot of it is steeped in the fact that most of us have to remember that in our history, our secrets, and in our history, our lies, and the things that we think we know are only going to be partially told to you. So you have to do your own research. You have to actually do the time of reading, looking, and trying to decipher for yourself what is real and what is fake.
And that takes us right into the next question. Are the school systems lacking in what they're teaching?
Well, of course.
About black history. Yes
that's the problem. The problem is that history isn't being taught the same way. I've met a lot, and I'm saying this on a quote-unquote basis. I've met many naive white people who believe that, like, I know a lot of people believe this, okay? I know that you believe that because it was only so long ago, that's a completely different type of group of people. We're not even half as anywhere near that. But I need you to think about the fact that this shit ripples.
Yeah.
It ripples through time. It ripples through energy. It ripples through bloodlines.
Mm-hmm.
We still have it in us to keep the violence going solely based off of race. And in our history, in school, it is not being taught. It's being watered down.
Extremely watered down.
And barely told. I can't even tell you how many black history things I really learned in school that weren't what we usually are told, which are just Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King. Like, what did you really learn of value that actually made you stop and think, other than the Trail of Tears? The Trail of Tears are the only thing that we ever talk about, like, deeply in American history that is like, yeah, America did that, and it was kind of fucked up, but we're not gonna, we don't do that. We don't do that usually. We don't do that usually. We just, that was that one time. Like, no, like, there are many times in American history that white people fucked up and more. Like, I mean, they're not just white people. Like, I mean, black people too. Like, I mean, there are a lot of things in history where everybody kind of fucked up. But we need to be more, like, transparent about that. Yeah. And just accept that, like, there are deep-seated problems that started over things that no longer exist now. Like, the things that they were bitching and fighting about then are not still here on the surface level. Like, do we have to fight about jobs and careers and money and housing anymore with races? No. Now we're just trying to find that over on the other side of the fence in Mexico. Like, we just want to find any reason at all to be pissed off at anybody. Even for one second, if we think that they're trying to take something from us.
Yeah, humans in general.
It's crazy.
It's a big territory battle.
It's just a whole, like, what is mine is mine.
Yeah.
And what's mine is mine, it's mine is mine is mine, and not yours.
And sometimes what's yours is mine.
Exactly. And what's yours is mine, too. And yeah. If it's not mine, I'm getting a percentage of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all feeding into the same mouth. Okay. They want what they don't have. And still we're doing that even with just our school system being completely blinded to not putting that information out there.
Why?
I think our kids need to know more.
Why do you think the school systems, that's our next question. Why do you think the school systems are whitewashing our education? Well,
because it is ugly.
It is, yeah.
It's ugly and it's not, it is...
It's a black eye. It's a black eye that we don't like to talk about.
It's awful. Like, I mean, well, and think about this. Like, it can cause problems. Like, what were you saying? There was something in our research that had said something about, there was a doctor.
Oh, he was doing studies on, or not studies. He was basically protesting against all of the, like, the random black lynchings that were happening in, like, the late 1800s, early 1900s, and he was basically saying two things. He was saying, first, this is fucked up, like, you're killing innocent people for like no goddamn reason,
exactly,
other than they have different skin color than you. But he was also saying, what this is going to do is the fact that you are normalizing genocide and murdering people. If that, like, whenever a little thing happens, give it like 20 years, a little thing's gonna happen, and it's gonna cause an entire riot, like a massacre, like a complete rebellion that's gonna, like,
and I feel like that's
bite us in the ass.
Yeah, and I feel like that's kind of what's happening now, but that is what they're trying to avoid in schools as well. The last thing they want to do is continually
rile
the
up
stories
young people
of the fact that, yes, there were times when
your
ancestors were getting murdered for no reason,
or basically
your ancestors were getting murdered for no reason, and this group was consistently benefiting. When would that be a good time for us to talk about the divide between
or to talk about children? Or to talk about talking about schools themselves, like telling a young black student,
exactly,
50 years ago,
exactly,
you would not have been in this school,
exactly,
like that sort of thing.
We wouldn't have been cool with you being here.
Yeah,
you wouldn't have been here, and my family probably would have, like, shunned, killed, murdered half of the things. And so it's kind of one of the, I feel like they avoid that for that reason. They don't want to, you know, rile up the children, but I feel like there's a healthy amount of, these are things we need to know for the sake of.
We have to remember all of these terrible things that have happened. Yes, like, we need to remember those black eyes and those terrible things that have and are still happening, because there's no... When you forget about that shit, it will repeat itself every fucking time. We've seen that.
And it's still happening now.
Yeah.
As soon as somebody...
Right now.
Specifically, a black person gets murdered for absolutely no good reason. And in those times, it turns into a complete shit show.
Yeah.
Across the entire United States.
Yeah.
And what are we learning from this? What are we gaining from this? Like, it's not... going anywhere.
No, I feel like we're not learning.
We're in a hamster wheel.
Yeah.
We're in a hamster wheel with the constant need to feel like some group is in control, when we need to realize we're all on the same team.
We're in the same fucking boat.
Team.
We're all in the same boat together. And, motherfucker. It's going to tip.
Yeah.
This boat's going to tip. It's tipping right now. We're halfway underwater right now. Again. Next question. Do you think, do racial tensions carry into like personal relationships? Have you experienced that?
Well, I mean, yeah, you know, not super often, but yes, like I've definitely had times where I was kind of hanging out with a large majority of my friends who happen to be white, and there are times that is a little uncomfortable.
And Republican.
Yeah, yeah. It can be a little uncomfortable sometimes to be like that only brown person who exists in the room.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I have grown up to be that person who is okay with taking up that space.
Yeah.
In the room. Like, I am never uncomfortable being the only minority.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do feel that only sometimes. Like, there's only been ever one or two or three times, like, recent that I've had times that were uncomfortable. Like, I had a time where I went to a party not too long ago, and there was another person there who I had never even met before. Very nice guy, but he was, like, a mixed guy, so
yeah.
Half black, half white. And when I got there, he was immediately like, oh my God, like another black person.
Yeah.
Like, oh, like, holy shit. Like, I didn't even know they existed out here. Like, I'm so happy to see you. And like, and it was so like kind of uncomfortable because I was kind of like, okay, like,
yeah.
okay, that's fine. But,
yeah.
But what is happening here? And like, it just kind of seemed like it was just escalating, like him asking me more and more uncomfortable questions that were race only, like oriented.
Oh yeah.
And I was just kind of like, okay, like I don't want to be here anymore.
I've had a few moments like that at, not necessarily this job, but in the past at work, like
yeah.
Work relationships, because people, there's certain shit.
Yeah, those two.
There's certain
yeah.
shit that we shouldn't talk about at
We've
work.
Had too many. Yeah.
And man, it's funny how that all politics comes up at work all the time. There's always been awkward like racial tension in my workplaces.
Or us just being out like at my studio listening to the uncomfortable.
Oh my
like,
god!
Conversations that would happen.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah, ridiculous. Like, you guys would not even believe the types of things that are being said, like, when...
Her studio...
When people don't even realize that you're, like, they forget you're there.
Yeah, her studio was a loft, so we were, like, basically above all these other people working in their studio spaces.
Yeah.
So you come up the stairs, give it, like, 15, 20 minutes, they forget you're even there because you're out of sight.
Yeah.
And they start talking about some of the most, like, awkward shit ever. It's like, oh my God, I wish I wasn't fucking here, like... Why? Like, please stop, please.
And not all of them racial, but
no,
some of them just so cringy. You
but
know?
Surprisingly,
pretty
often
much,
enough,
like,
racial
old
issues.
White people conversations that you just can't unhear. And so it's just.
Talking about bowel movements and,
yeah.
You know.
And when there is a black person there, those conversations that do exist between them, when they're literally.
It's
just,
so cringy.
Oh,
it's so
God.
Fucking cringy.
It sounds like.
I just wanted to,
like
escape out of a window.
Worst. It sounds like the worst interview. If you could sit on the interview, like just imagine the question coming out and then you sitting there with that pause when you're kind of like,
ugh. Yeah, yeah.
It's like that, but just 10 times more uncomfortable because like we had an incident where there was like a very nice, well-educated black guy who was there just you
yeah.
know doing his thing playing his nice drum and here comes
yeah, had a
like,
hand pan I think is what it was
comes,
called
like Handy Sandy walking in talking about oh well what is that a tongue drum what is that
yeah
a,
she was like oh my god
that,
and
that,
she was trying
tongue drum?
She
that?
Was trying to get she was trying to give this kid who clearly fucking knew exactly what he was playing like
yeah.
She was trying to give him like a lesson on like African and Caribbean culture. I'm
She's like, that looks exactly like one of those drums I see it on.
I'm like just setting up there
channel
like
that has the little things on them. What is that called again? I'm just like, oh Lord have mercy, please stop talking.
I'm setting up there like you're making us look so fucking stupid right now. Like please
yeah.
stop.
So many times where I feel like people are disrespecting me because of my race, but
yeah.
personal relationships in general, I don't feel like they exist too heavily. I don't ever feel like, well, because I'm black and they're white that we have problems. Like, So it's never been an issue for me. Like, I feel like in my adult life, really, I never really restrict myself to the fact that, like, I don't really care, like, whether my friends are white or black. I just, as long as I have a good friend, like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess to round the episode off on maybe a positive note or a hopeful note, what do you think that we can do as a society, as people together, to move forward?
You know, love people, man. Love people and be open and honest. Like,
yeah,
just have that in your heart to know that if everybody set out with the same intention to just not be a dick, it would literally just, like, it would be cool. Like, we would not have so many issues if you could just remember that the only things you have to worry about are the safety of yourself, the safety of others, and kindness. Like, you literally do not have to do anything outside of that.
Yeah.
Except for that. Just be decent.
Yeah.
And, like, we tell our daughter all the time, like, anytime that she has, like, those questions where she's like, you know, how is this or what is that or blah, blah, blah. Like, we're always super open. We're like, you know, no, clothes are not gender formative. Like,
yeah, that's been a recent conversation.
You know, anyone can wear makeup. Anybody can marry a man or marry a woman. Like, we tell her all the time, like, when you get older and when you want to marry someone, whether that's male or female, you are happy to do so. Like, you could do whatever you want.
Yeah, do whatever.
We are just trying to fit that bill that the world is, so much of us in the world are trying to do.
Yeah.
A lot of us are trying to be the open-minded, spiritual, you know, loving energy that this world needs. And luckily, because we are in our Aquarius season, we should be able to achieve this. Like, the world is already on an uproar and an awakening is already happening. So we just need to keep going with that.
Yeah.
Just keep going with the feelings of peace and love and like equality, man.
For sure.
Like, that's it.
And I think the, like, a good way to accomplish that is just talking. Like, I think we need to have open and honest and, like, fueled by love conversations.
Absolutely.
With everybody. Like, don't be afraid to ask questions. Like, if you know someone of a different culture, like, something like that, ask them questions about their culture.
Because, I mean, I'm never offended by somebody wanting to have a conversation or asking questions.
Yeah.
I think that is exactly the kind of thing that needs to happen. You cannot live in ignorance.
For sure.
You have to educate yourself. And even if that means having a conversation with some of your closest friends, like, if you have a friend of color and you have questions, ask that friend. Say, out of love, I have questions because I never got to ask anybody this. And
for sure.
I would be like, hell yeah. Like, ask me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the only way you're going to know. That's the only way you're going to learn. Like, that's the only way. And I would not be pissed off at you for wanting to know. I'd only be pissed off at you for wanting to stay naive.
Yeah. So, no, absolutely.
I feel like this was such an important thing to touch on because the month was coming to an end with it being Black History Month. I feel like we needed to have a deep conversation to open the eyes. Like, this, you all, this is something that exists even in our household. Like, the feelings that hurt, like, of our family sometimes can still sit in the creases of our hearts, you know, like,
it's
just knowing the equalities that exist for our family out there.
It's a heavy, like, hard and, like, kind of gruesome topic, but it's something that, like, we all need to talk about.
It's uncomfortable.
And we need to keep our ears open. We need to keep our hearts open and we need to move forward loving each other and
absolutely,
like, just trying to be good people. Like,
as Bob Marley would have said, y'all, just, like, one love, man.
Well, yeah.
One love. So, if you all liked this episode or if you just have any great thoughts about it, like, you know, find us on our Instagram, find us on Facebook. We would love to hear from you at Heathen and the Hench Podcast. Make sure you find us. Our Patreon is about to start getting some uploads soon. So, if you are interested in that, please join our Patreon for a special Saturday show that will be beginning in March.
You can find all of that information on our Linktree link in our social media accounts. I think it's on both of them. Yeah. I believe, yes.
Yes.
So yeah, just go check us out on social media. Hit us up in the comments and in the...
Let us know what you all think.
Yeah, just talk to us. We like hearing from you.
Thank you all so much for joining us on this Freaky Friday. We hope you learned something. We hope you gained something. And we hope that you walk away from this with a little bit more knowledge.
Yeah, and excuse if we sound a little weird. We both are like balls deep
super
in
congested.
A really bad cold super right now.
Right now. Yeah, so please forgive us for sounding kind of like little pipsqueaks.
Yeah, we're wheezing and sniffing.
We love you guys, our little heretics, and we
yeah.
just hope that you guys continue to check in with us every week. Keep coming back. We love you guys, and it can't go on without you. This
yeah.
has been Heathen and the Hedge Podcast. My name is Shay.
My name is Merlin.
Blessed be y'all.
Love you guys.
Peace.